Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. We need to worship. We need to worship. Just join me in worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name this morning, oh, God. The spirit of worship is just upon me, so I'm just going to do what I need to do. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, oh, Lord, for all you have done for us. We thank you, oh God, for the sacrifice you've made for us, oh God. We even thank you for the low moments, oh God. The tears are just for all the things that you've brought us through, all the things that you've kept us from, oh God. The mentors that you've put before us, as I looked at the pictures of black love. And just looked, and I don't want to be racist, oh Lord, but sometimes I leaned over the pastor. I said, no, I know why they hate us. Because the spirit of the living God is in us. And no, nothing can keep us down. And nothing can take that away from us. Oh, they may take our lives, oh God. They may take our lives. They may take our children, oh God. But you are with us. Oh, Lord, touch those out there who feel so alone. Let them feel your presence. Encourage your people, oh, God. Break through the spirit of racism right now in the name of Jesus. Break through the spirit of hatred, mean-spiritedness. Break through it, oh, God. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. You lift your hands and worship. Lift your hands and worship. Worship the Lord. We worship you, oh God. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You kept us and you're keeping us, oh God. And we have faith that you will keep us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give the Lord a hand, Captain. Oh, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. He's good. He's good. He's worthy. You know, God is birthing things. And, you know, he's midwifing or we're midwifing things that he's birthing. And it's just, it fills my heart to see the worship coming through. We don't need to call in people. We've got the people right here who can take us into the throne room, oh Lord, and I thank you for that. I say good morning to you today. I stand before you and I'm very thankful that God saw that that could happen. I give honor to all the couples. Thank you for sending in your pictures. I know it might be bittersweet for some of us here because I'm feeling that spirit also. But the Bible says, you know, that God is our husband. You know, he's a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless, a wife to the wifeless, and a husband to the husbandless. So don't even fret about it. So I thank those of you who were obedient to send your pictures in because it blessed us. It really did. I give honor to God today. I give honor and respect to our deacons and our trustees and the various servants of God here. Thank you for this choir. Just give them a hand. The men, bless my spirit. My co-laborers in Kingdom Building, Reverend Joanne Hilton and Minister Donna West and Holly Saw is not here today, but Minister Paul Martin, he's here, and I thank you for your presence and your support as well and your prayers. And most of all, I want to thank Pastor Jackson. He's such a great mentor. Yeah. He's so great. I just thank him. I just thank him. He's like, we don't have to be perfect, Ella. And that's all I needed to hear this morning. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. I walked in and saw him in his hoodie. I said, oh, he's going. He's going to go away. And, you know, it's like seeing your father leave when you really need the support. So I thank God for him. You don't know what a blessed church we are to have the leader that we have. I tell you, you don't know. His spirit is generous, his spirit is loving, and his spirit is supportive, and I thank God for that. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today. And the word comes from John 15, 1 through 14. John 15, 1 through 14. When you have it, say amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide. Everybody say abide. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Dear Lord God, consecrate this word today. Bless the ears that hear it. Open the hearts and the minds of those who are present, O Lord. If there is one who feels excluded, O God, or feels not in the number, O Lord, touch him in your very special way. Reduce me, O Lord, and increase you, your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit of, under the title of The Source for an Indescribable Relationship. The source for an indescribable relationship. And for those of you that don't want to write all that, just think about the source. The source. I think it's appropriate to address the topic of relationships on this day of marriage acknowledgement. I don't want to talk really about marriage because I wasn't born married, and I don't want to talk about marriage because for many of us, our reaction to marriage is not always positive. But mainly, I don't want to address marriage because the topic by itself is not inclusive. I want those who are not in the present state of matrimony to hear this word today. There is a word for you. It just might help you find the one you want. It might help you keep the one you have or leave the one you're with. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody.
However, the topic of relationships is very relevant and inclusive and required before anyone should or could get to the topic of marriage. Most of us don't know who we really are before we begin thinking about forming a relationship with someone else. Can somebody say amen? I've been there. I'm talking about myself. We live in a time when healthy relationships are under serious attack. Healthy relationships. Godly relationships are not in style. You can't talk about God in your relationship. Many of our world leaders have thumbed their noses at having relationships of integrity on all levels. We're challenged personally and professionally and privately with relationships. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about relationships. Most of the news from world, national, and local headlines, even the obituaries, addresses the success or failure of some type of relationship. Yeah, I like to read obituaries. It gives me the story. It gives me the story. There's a story about a couple, and they go to a marriage counselor. And when they get to this session, the counselor encourages the couple to share what they see as the problems in their marriage. The wife takes off complaining about the husband. Oh, she names all his faults and all the should-haves and all the could-haves of her spouse and their relationship. And for a good 10 minutes, she rants and raves in the session. The husband just sits meekly by without saying a word. Finally, the counselor gets up and goes over to the woman, and he takes her in his arms, and he gives her a big hug and a fat, juicy kiss on the mouth. The woman is dumbfounded and stops her ranting. The counselor turns to the husband and says, that's what your wife needs, 2 times a week every week. Well, I guess I can bring her in every Tuesday and Thursday. A serious disconnect. Even though it's comedy, there's a serious disconnect there. Many times in our relationships, there's a serious disconnect. Pastor prayed today that, you know, sometimes we, you know, it needs to be more than just, you know, how you're doing, whatever. It would be nice to share the spiritual things. It would be nice to share some of the things that are deep in your soul. But there's a disconnect. Seriously. Sometimes our relationships feel just that bizarre and disconnected. Today's text brings us to a place in Jesus' discourse that addresses the importance of being connected to the source. Everybody say the source. Jesus tells us to abide in the true vine. 10 times the word abide is found in this text. Jesus has given us the ingredients for a true faith based true faith-based relationships in this text. All relationships would benefit from this truth and are included. This fourth gospel is written for the sake of both Jews and Gentiles, which presents Jesus as the Son of God. The first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, describe events in the life of Jesus. John emphasizes the meaning of those events. However, the main theme of the Gospel of John is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The key word in the Gospel of John is believe. Everybody say believe. God help my unbelief. God help my unbelief. And believe, and it requires both knowledge of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, or the choice, asking him to be our Savior. It's not enough to know something and still make a negative choice that does not take that knowledge into consideration. For instance, we all know that exercise is good for us, but many of us choose not to do it. Amen? We know that certain foods and stimulants are not good for us, but We choose to partake of those things anyway. Paul was right when he lamented over this human dilemma that we have. He said, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, I do. Help us, Lord Jesus," because that's what we struggle with. Here in chapter 15, Jesus is addressing all those who are in Christ. Some theologians state that this text is not for those who are not born again or saved. However, I dare to differ. There may be some of you thinking, well, if it's not for the saved, then that doesn't include me because I haven't accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so I don't need to listen to this. Or they may say, well, I don't believe in it because I think it's a myth or a fable. Or I heard the other day someone told me, well, I don't believe because I think you people who are Christians are just brainwashed. Well, I'm here to tell you that today is your opportunity to allow the Spirit of the living God, and the Spirit of the living God is in here, to let the Spirit cut away some stuff. Cut away some stuff. I encourage every one of you, every one of us, to draw nearer to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will not only save your soul, but will help you out with the one or the ones you're with. I'm not talking about a relationship. I'm talking about the relationship. The relationship is the one with the only true and wise God connected to the source. Amen. Jesus is telling us he's the true vine. He's telling us this because we need to be aware that there were and there are some false vines out there. And many of us are connected to those false vines. Maybe not anybody in here, but some, you know, in, down the street. What are some of these false vines that we tend to connect ourselves to? I'm glad you asked. Well, what about the church of bold-faced lies? What about the denomination of many dollar bills? What about the assembly of arrogance and disregard for anyone different from you? I think our nation is suffering from a disease that you hate anybody or anything that's different from you. The assembly of arrogance and disregard for anyone different from you. Or the house of hatred. Anybody belong to that? Or the parish of blame the poor and the miseducated. The church of self-centeredness and conceit. Oh, there's a temple. There's a temple called the temple of take all you can get while you can get it. The throne room of unrighteous racism and the nation of nonsense. Any of you belong to that? The house of forget the hungry and the homeless. And finally, the mission of mean-spiritedness, just to name a few. This text encourages us with its rich connection to the source. This text begins with one of Jesus' many I am statements connected to us, connecting us to Yahweh of the Old Testament. When asked by Moses who to say sent him, the response was, "Tell him, I am that I am sent you." Some of the I am declarations in this gospel are as follow. There's supposed to be, I think, seven of them, but I found more. When Jesus was confronted after walking on water and feeding the 5,000, he said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." And when he, they still weren't sure. So he said, "I am the bread which come down from heaven, which come down from heaven." And they still didn't get it. So he even said a few statements later. He says, "I am the living bread. I am the living bread," after walking on water and hearing the murmuring of the Jews. And then to the accusers of the woman caught in adultery, he said, "I am the light of the world." And to the unbelieving Jews of the day and the murmuring ones, again, he said, "I am from above. I am not of this world. I am he. I am the door of the sheep." He said, "I am the shepherd. I know my sheep and am known, and they are known to me. He says, I am the Son of God in John 10. And as he comforts Mary, as she realizes Lazarus has died, and she's just said, if you had been here, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. To his disciples, he said in this discourse, I am the true vine. And later, as we saw on the video, while he was being tried by Pilate, he says, I am the king. My father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser maintains the vineyard. He will dig around the roots of the vine and prunes and cuts the branches of the vine so that there will be fruit. Pruning not only cuts away the dead and the diseased wood, but it cuts away the living wood as well, so that there will not only be good or better fruit, but we will have the best fruit. How many of you know that you have to sometimes cut away some living stuff? Tell your neighbor, you got to cut away some living stuff. All living stuff is not healthy for us. Some living stuff saps the life out of us. And as the branches, we are pruned in several ways. We're pruned by the conviction of the word. That's why it's important to come and hear the word and to stay in the word and to read the word. We are cleansed by the washing of the word. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That should be our prayer every day. And we are chastened by the Lord. Yes, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And from the branches, Jesus says he expects to find a lot of fruit. To be joined to Christ, to be a branch that is grafted into the vine, Jesus means to bear fruit. The kind of fruit that should be evident in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control, Galatians 5:22. The fruit we bear shows itself in very practical ways. If you are joined to Christ, you cannot look the other way when someone is in need. I love Mount Olive because I don't think as a church we look the other way when people are in need. If you are joined to Christ, you don't cross the street to avoid the person with whom you have had a disagreement. If you are joined to Christ, as a branch attached to Christ, you don't hold back our forgiveness. We try to be understanding and helpful. We want to be encouraging instead of being negative and critical. Being connected to Jesus means that you will seek reconciliation instead of adding fuel to the disharmony. I had a gentleman on his dying bed look me in the eye and tell me, I won't forgive you. I'm not forgiving you. And I thought he was kidding. You know, I had promised to bring him communion, and I did, but I was a few minutes late because there were some other people who needed my attention. And when I walked in, he said, you lied to me. You lied. Don't ever lie to me. And I said, I didn't lie. And then, he's dying. So I offered, to give him his juice and give him something to drink, and I was doing all the little things. And every time I would do something for him, he would say, but I'm still not forgiving you. I'm still not forgiving you. And so I said, life is too short for you not to forgive someone. And, I was taking it personally, and so I backed up. And, I said, well, the disease process is probably, touching his brain a little bit. But it was sad. Then on his deathbed, he had the whatever to say, I'm still not forgiving you. Whatever you do, I still won't forgive you. I realize I'm learning so much that that spirit, it's not only in that man, that spirit is in a whole lot of people who are willing to go to the grave not forgiving somebody for something as silly as, not coming out. They can't even remember what it is. please ask God to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. When you feel like you want to rise up and say something, walk away. Walk away and do it in love. Bring humor into it. Do something, but please do not go to your deathbed with unforgiveness in your heart. It means showing love and patience to those whom you think don't deserve it. Oh, we're in a time, we can sit right there, because there are a whole lot of people that we think don't deserve our love or our patience or our kindness. We need to pray for them, and we need to be kind to them. In other words, being joined to Jesus has practical implications for the way we live our everyday lives. The nice picture of the vine, branches, and fruit is not some theoretical thing. It isn't a matter of having a nice, warm feeling about being closely connected to Jesus. It isn't something we nod our heads in agreement here in this church and then forget about it until next time. Bearing fruit isn't an optional extra. To have a good crop of grapes, it is necessary for the vines to be pruned. It's necessary for pain to come into our lives. Jesus is saying that all the useless foliage in our lives needs to be cut away. We may think this foliage makes us look attractive, especially to the world, but will not in any way help us to bear fruit that will bring glory to God. In business, greed, selfishness, disregard for the feelings of people or for their needs might be the way to get ahead, but must be pruned away to allow the fruit of generosity, kindness, and humility to grow. It might be acceptable to others to indulge in sex outside of marriage. Hello. Run down people behind their backs. That's called murmuring and gossiping. To participate in some harmful act that endangers our health and leads others astray. But these must be pruned away if we are to show the fruit of care, understanding, and self-control. I'm going to stop right here for a minute. I was watching the little girl, your daughter, Taylor, Usher. And I remember Taylor in the new members class and diligently filling out, doing her little guided readings and everything. And my heart just felt good watching the senior Usher guiding her and encouraging her and affirming her. And that's what we need to do as the people of God. We need to guide, we need to love, we need to affirm our children so that we can break through this hoodie mentality that, you know, the others think about us, and encourage our children. When my daughter texts, you know, we do the texting back and forth, and she's very upset. And I said, you know, this experience we're having with the young man who was killed, I said, this is like an Emmett Till. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember Emmett Till, but I remember I was young, and I remember the pictures and the anguish of this mother and her bravery to have the coffin open so that the world could see. This is our opportunity to let the world see our outrage and what mean and hateful things will be done to our children who are innocent just because of prejudice. It doesn't make sense, but I guarantee you, if we hold on to God, if we do the godly things, if we hold on to the source, if we prune away those things that would hinder us, that we will come out pure as gold. None of this is easy. Our sinful nature prefers to be selfish and greedy. We find it easier to ignore people than to help them. It is so much easier to be hurtful and critical than to encourage and comfort someone. We can't do this kind of pruning by ourselves. We need our heavenly gardener, the Lord, to give us the strength and the will to want to change. We need the Holy Spirit to help us cut out the dead wood of sin and to grow beautiful fruit. That's why it's ever so important that we are connected to the vine. Are you connected to the vine? Do you want to be connected to the vine? From the vine, Jesus, we receive the nourishment we need to live as his disciples. We receive the forgiveness we need for our failures. We grow in our understanding of what it means to be baptized, to be a baptized person in everyday living. We're still in Lenten season, thank God, and let us prepare ourselves by abiding in the true vine. My prayer is that we connect to the source, the true vine. Allow the vine dresser to prune us into what will help us become better in all our relationships. My prayer is that as we abide in the true vine, evidence of our fruit will show through. Our experience of answered prayers will be evidence of our fruit. Our deeper love for Christ will be evidence of our fruit. Our deeper love for other believers will be evidence of our fruit. Our deeper love for those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as our life becomes a witness to the love of God, and a deeper joy in the Lord would be evidence of our fruit. Because the vine lives, so do the branches. The life of Christ flows to us through the word and the sacraments. As Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. The fruit of faith and good deeds. May the life-giving sap of Christ's love make us all fruit-bearing branches, always connected to the source that creates an indescribable relationship. You want an indescribable relationship. As I knelt yesterday, my prayer partner, because we call each other. We don't see each other much, but we call. And we thank God all the time for the relationship we have. And the relationship, she's more than a sister, because I can't pray with my sisters the way I pray with her. The relationship, we're more than best friends, because we're just closer than best friends. Best friends doesn't get it. So she just said, well, Lord, bless our indescribable relationship. And so I encourage you to ask the Lord to give you an indescribable relationship with your mates, to give you an indescribable relationship with the people that you work with, to give you an indescribable relationship with those that persecute you and abuse you. Can you be an example under those conditions? I know. To be an indescribable, or have an indescribable relationship in a setting where you can't pray in the name of Jesus, that's the challenge. That's the challenge. I encourage you all to seek an indescribable relationship, and you can only have it from the source, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. Amen.